I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. We're continuing our 30 Issues in 30 Days election coverage with a look at job retraining. The federal government has spent about $18 billion on training and job research programs. President Obama has been promoting job retraining as one sure way to put people back to work, as one clear way to get the economy back on track. It has bipartisan support, but is it working? And should the government be paying for these programs? Mitchell Hartman, senior business reporter for Marketplace, joins us to talk about this campaign issue. Mitchell Hartman, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Hi. Good to be here.
Hi. So there are four job seekers for about every one job. And a lot of that reflects the fact that the jobs that are open, and they're, believe it or not, there are many that are open,
right,
the people do not have the skills to be able to work those jobs.
Right. That's true. And, you know, if you talk to some of the employers that, you know, that say that they're having the biggest problem finding workers, you know, they'll say there's, you know, the Manufacturing Institute, for instance, says that there's 600,000 jobs in the country going wanting, and that, I don't know, something like 70% of the people who respond to their survey, business owners say, you know, they would be hiring people. They would be expanding business if they could find the right people. What they tend to say is that the positions, the kinds of skills that are most lacking are advanced manufacturing. So we're talking about sort of practical math, science, computer, you know, sort of basic engineering kinds of things, things that you can, you know, get in a community college course. You could get in, you know, maybe a union apprenticeship training, even, you know, some sort of manufacturing magnet high schools are starting to do these programs, and they say that's what's needed.
So how do you connect? I mean, and job training seems to be on its face to be the best way to make that happen. We see the skills that you've articulated that folks need to have, and here are folks who need jobs. Just put together a program and train them, and then, you know, everybody, it's a win-win for everybody. And yet, there are issues.
You know, there are big issues. I mean, the first thing is, you know, just put together a program means just have some money to do the program. You know, the federal government probably pushes most of the money that provides job training out to the states. I mean, you know, unions provide some of it, but mostly it's money that goes to the states, you know, to community colleges. But look, you know, they're hurting because state budgets have been cut, and, you know, in California, for instance, I think last year more than 100,000 people who wanted to be, you know, trying to get an associate's degree couldn't be accommodated because the classes filled up and the state didn't have enough money to, you know, pay for more classrooms and more teachers. There's another problem, which is that just getting people skills doesn't necessarily create jobs. I mean, you know, the way that one economist has put it to me is, what you're really doing is just making, you know, job seeker A have a better chance of getting the job than job seeker B. But, you know, if there's four job seekers for every available job, it can help individuals, but it doesn't necessarily help the economy. It doesn't necessarily help the job market.
But Mitchell Hartman of Marketplace, if there are four job training opportunities for those four job seekers, you know, seeking the one job, that it seems to me that increases the number of people who have skills. So certainly they should be able to find jobs then.
Well, yeah. And, you know, the record is it's mixed. But, you know, in general, the people who promote job training certainly see that, you know, maybe 50% of the people who get some kind of federally sponsored job training, you know, are able to land positions. So it certainly helps. And it, you know, it may well be that getting skilled people into companies, you know, especially companies that have an aging workforce, you know, people who have been operating manufacturing equipment, pretty sophisticated manufacturing equipment, and they're getting close to retirement. And those companies are, you know, busy, especially in the Midwest with the auto industry. And, you know, they can't find enough people to start a second shift or, you know, take on more orders, that's got to help. And so it may well be that if you can get more people trained, you actually expand the pie and there are more jobs for other people as well.
So now you mentioned the federal job training programs, and that traditionally has been where, you know, the money for job training happens. But in a lot of states, even those who are hurting, the states have made a decision, state governments have made a decision to invest in job training programs, often working with corporations to train workers specifically for the needs of the locally based corporations. Now, there are people who are criticized this, saying the corporations should be paying for it themselves. But those states like North Carolina and Louisiana and Michigan think it's a good thing. How does that look from the financial perspective?
Well, from a state's perspective, it's clearly a good investment because, you know, it helps their businesses, which helps their tax revenue, and it helps the individuals, which, you know, gets them employed and gets them paying income tax. You know, may well make individual states sort of specialty businesses, focus areas, you know, biotech, advanced manufacturing, aerospace, things like that, more competitive, especially against neighboring states. I think the question is, should the taxpayer be footing a fair amount of the bill when it's really, in some arguments you could make, business that takes the benefit? And businesses in general sort of overall have been trimming their training budgets, or at least they're flat. And if you hear them talk about it, they're hurting for workers, hurting for skilled workers, and yet they really haven't upped the amount of money that they're spending to train those people with big, money in the bank. A lot of corporations probably could afford more training, but, you know, if somebody else is going to do it, if the public sector is going to do it, they'll take that too.
Well, we should note, as you did, that if you have people who get trained, if it's paid for by the state, let's say, and they return to paying taxes, and that just raises the level of everybody's lifestyle, if you will, in the entire community, that's a good thing. So that's one benefit. But what some of the critics are saying about these state-paid-for programs versus corporations kicking in their own money is that corporations are already getting tax breaks and credits. So it's like two or three benefits that they're getting, and that for some is not fair.
Right. And, you know, I think if the result is that businesses are successful, that they keep hiring local people, you know, that they add a shift, that they, you know, expand and, you know, put a new wing on, people are going to not care so much about a little bit more public subsidy going to those businesses. The issue is when you put all this money in and then the work leaves anyway, you know, goes to a neighboring state, goes to China, goes to India, simply because it's cheaper to do it there and, you know, you can do some of it on the internet. So I think it remains to be seen, you know, just how worth it is for, you know, for states or municipalities to do this.
And you're not just, you know, saying that. That's happened where states have invested and, you know, in the end, the companies take the work out of state.
Right. And, you know, business owners will say that no matter what public policy is in the final analysis, they need to do, they have a fiduciary responsibility to do what helps their bottom line. And if they can do something more efficiently and cheaper, they will often do it, no matter what they've said in public about, you know, how they need help training workers.
I'm speaking with Mitchell Hartman. He's a senior business reporter for Marketplace, and we're talking about job retraining programs. It's our 30 Issues in 30 Days election coverage, part of that coverage that's ongoing. So, Mitchell, who benefits most from job retraining when it works well? Who are the beneficiaries?
Well, you've got to assume that the most important change is going to be someone who has lost a job, especially in any of the sectors that were just devastated in the recession, you know, construction, mortgage finance, things like that, where there simply aren't new jobs being created. There's just much less employment in those sectors. You know, they're hopefully, if they're getting good guidance counseling, and if they can possibly move to another part of the country where there are jobs, you know, they're going to benefit from moving into booming sectors, healthcare, utilities, you know, maybe energy if they're willing to go to North Dakota. And in terms of education level, it's probably people who already have some education. It's going to be tough to get retrained into advanced manufacturing if you didn't even finish high school. But, you know, if you're middle-aged and, you know, you've been sort of economied out of a good-paying manufacturing job, you could do two more years if you can afford it at a community college or even a, you know, for-profit private college, and hopefully get back into the workforce, into something that'll sustain you until you retire.
Thank you so much, Mitchell Hartman, for speaking with us this morning.
You're welcome. Pleasure.
We've been talking about job retraining, looking at if it works and who should be paying for it, and I've been speaking with Mitchell Hartman. He's a senior business reporter for Marketplace. You can catch Marketplace here on WGBH Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. We're going to continue the jobs retraining program with a local focus. Lyndia Downey, the president and executive director of the Pine Street Inn, is here to talk about Pine Street's jobs training programs. We'll find out who's getting work and what kinds of jobs people are training for. I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio.